Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Word for our meditation today is a verse from the Proverbs, Proverbs 22, verse 1, and also the Eighth Commandment. From Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than gold. And the Eighth Commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, or say anything that might ruin his good name and reputation, but we should defend him, speak well of him, and explain all his words and actions in the best possible way. So far, our text. In the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly beloved of God, wasn't that period of silence, the absence of hearing the pastor's voice, a little deafening? Imagine what it'd be like if you could not use your voice at all to speak, if you could not join your fellow Christians in praising God with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs at His house on a Sunday. Or what if you were unable to use your voice cords or vocal cords to express your love for your spouse or concern for your family members, or if you Facebooked someone on your computer and they couldn't use their voice to communicate with you? Thanks be to God, He's gifted us with a gift we may be inclined sometimes to take for granted, and that is the ability to use our lips and mouths, our tongue, and vocal cords to speak and to join with others to express our praise to our great and loving God. Now, with all the gifts that God has given to us in His goodness, the devil likes to spoil. He likes to tempt people to use their voices in harmful ways that God never intended. And this morning in our consideration of our text and the next commandment in our summer sermon series, the eighth, we're going to highlight God's will for us in this commandment, namely that we strive to use our tongues in good ways, to speak words always that will be helpful for building others up according to their needs. And we want to be encouraged to make it our daily prayer as God's children. Heavenly Father, help me use my tongue in ways that will serve to protect the gift that You've given to me and to others of a good name. First of all, notice how King Solomon, in his Book of Wise Sayings, Proverbs, highlights the value of having a good name. He says it's preferable and more desirable even than having riches, vast stockpiles of gold. Why is having a good name a valuable gift of God? Well, it's what determines whether or not other people will respect and trust us. And that's something the Lord our God desires for everyone. And that's why in His Eighth Commandment, He prohibits things like lying about others or to others, defaming others by attacking them with verbal jabs, talking about others in a way that is unloving when they're not around, sometimes called gossip, or saying anything which would not serve to build up and edify others, but which would harm their gift God has given to them of a good name and reputation. A few Bible examples of such violations of the Eighth Commandment I might share by way of illustration. Think about Judas bore false witness against Jesus by telling his enemies where to find and arrest him out of the public eye in the quietness of the Garden of Gethsemane. Not a very loving use of his tongue. Remember the story of Absalom, son of David, who bore false witness against his father when he criticized David in front of others at the city gates of Jerusalem, which was the public meeting place, to steal away their hearts so that they would make him king and depose their father David. And of course, then the men we heard about in our gospel reading who bore false witness against Jesus at his trials before Caiaphas, before Governor Pilate, calling Jesus a blasphemer, an insurrectionist rabble-rouser, to ruin Jesus' good name and to lead others not to trust in him or believe in him as their Savior, and so they could put him to death. Ever since the fall into sin, human nature is inclined in that direction. What the Apostle James wrote in our epistle today is sadly true, that every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And in the eighth commandment, God teaches us, his regenerate children, this is part of a law in its third use for Christians, for those who already know Christ as their Savior, to honor him by endeavoring to defend our neighbor, to speak well of him, and to explain all his words and actions in the kindest way in order to protect their reputation and good name so other people will respect and trust them. A number of Bible examples also of this kind in Scripture the Lord has given for our instruction and encouragement. Positive examples the Lord wants us as his children to emulate in our lives. There's a story of Jonathan, son of King Saul. He was the one that was next in line to be the king in Israel after his father. But the Lord had made known that his choice for the man to be Israel's next king was David, because Saul ended up being a very ungodly king, and so the Lord chose to start up the family line from someone else, all the way to Jesus, starting with David. When an angry, evil-minded Saul instructed his son Jonathan to kill David, Jonathan instead defended David, spoke well of him, and pointed out his good traits to his father. He's going to be a good king, father. Remember how he slew that great Philistine giant Goliath? He'll make a good ruler for Israel. Application for you and me, God's will, is that when we speak about others, we do so like Jonathan, in a kind way. And if there's someone who maybe exhibits traits, characteristics we don't particularly appreciate, that if we talk about them, focus on the good trait that they have. Talk about that. There's also that Bible passage you probably remember from the book of Ecclesiastes. To everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to speak and a time to keep silence. So in faults and foibles that we notice in other people, might be a spouse, might be a sibling, a work colleague, a schoolmate, fellow Christian, God's will for us is that we let love cover the multitude of sins. Ignore, rise above, forgive, forget those everyday petty faults and foibles that we detect in others. Another good example of positive side of this commandment, a very beautiful one, is when Nathan the prophet came to King David later on after he became king to speak to him about his double sin of murder and adultery. When he pointed out to David in a tactful, loving way his sins to lead David to repentance. Application for us as God's people today is when concern for God's truth and the spiritual well-being of our neighbor requires us to speak about their sin, a lifestyle of sin that they have fallen into, that we will want to go to him in a humble spirit, one fellow sinner to another, like Nathan did for David, show him his sin, lead him to repent, and remembering the heavenly counsel that Jesus provided in Matthew 18, if your brother sins against you, go to him in a private way. Tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. If not, take along one or two others. If he still doesn't listen, tell it to the church, and all along the way in an effort to lead the person to repentance. Marvelous example of following God's good and gracious will in the eighth commandment for the well-being of others. Now again, as we look into the mirror, that's the main use, of course, of God's law. The first use is as a mirror to show us how we look, not in front of others, but in front of God. Mirror of the eighth commandment, we will need to confess, Lord, I've not followed your holy will in this commandment as you've directed me to do. I've said things to others and about others I wish I hadn't, that I wish I could take back, things that were hurtful to them, not helpful. Not always defended my neighbor's good name, spoken well of him like Jonathan did of David, explained his words and actions in the best way. I know, Lord, you have reason to vent your anger against me, and I deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. The gospel good news that we have come to know and love is that the Lord our God is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. He so loved us that he placed his own living word of love, his voice to the world, Jesus himself, his heart, how he thinks and feels towards the sinful world, gave us his living word, Jesus, put him in a stable at Bethlehem, had him live out a life of holiness for us, had him pierced on Calvary's cross to purge away all our sins of the tongue and all other sins, and then raised Jesus from the dead to confirm that it's true. And we now stand before the Lord by faith in Christ's atoning sacrifice as God's holy ones. Isn't it amazing to think about? Because Jesus spoke to Judas like he did, who used his tongue in a very bad way to become an informer against his master for money. Words of kindness to Judas' friend. Why have you come? Are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? It was a call to repentance. Because Jesus spoke to a brash, overconfident Peter who used his tongue to make an ill-advised promise. Fall away on account of you, Lord. I'll never will. I'll die with you. Jesus said to Peter, Simon, I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you've turned back, when you've repented, strengthen your brothers. And then later on, even called Peter to be a gospel ambassador and to go out and to feed his sheep. Because Jesus spoke words of love from the cross for his enemies, who used their voices to mock him and heap vicious insults on Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because Jesus committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he didn't retaliate, but entrusted himself to the one who judges justly, bearing our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have now been healed. Our sins, which are as scarlet, have become as white as snow, and our transgressions, which were red like crimson, have become as wool. Pretty amazing. Praise the Lord. As God's forgiven children and members of his holy family, and in view of his tender mercies, let us then offer our bodies in the Spirit's strength as living sacrifices to God, holy and precious to him. Let's endeavor to use our voices and vocal cords always in good, godly ways to speak the truth in love and to do what we can to protect God's gift to our neighbor of a good name. May our prayer be, Lord, let me win my foes with kindly words and actions, and let me find good friends for counsel and correction. Help me, as you have taught, to love both great and small, and by your Spirit's might, to live in peace with all. To the praise of your good and holy name, Lord, the name above every name. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Salvation, uphold with your Spirit.